Hey everyone, this is Casual Fanatic.
Film reviews without the shoes.
I'm Luca, your casual viewer.
And I'm Cayman, your fanatic.
Cayman, how are you doing? We probably sound really different again on the mic.
Second time recording in person.
Yep, second time.
Unfortunately, Elena's not with us this time, but...
No.
Sad.
But she's having a good time, what, doing studying,
I guess? Yeah, I think so.
I mean, she's been having fun with her friends. We've seen her going out on bike rides and whatnot.
Yeah.
It's pretty dope. But yeah, so we are in person again. Cayman is back in Colorado. Maybe one day I'll, you know, come to wherever you live.
Yeah,
maybe. And however, when is that? Wherever you may be,
who knows? But I had a work trip, so I had to come here to do some business.
Some business. Wow, this is gonna be a very loud podcast. We could turn it down like a little bit, but
no, you can't. Right.
That's dope. How was your work trip so far? Has it been pretty good?
Yeah, pretty good. It was a lot of walking.
Yeah.
And a lot of writing.
You said you hit 15,000 steps yesterday, right?
Yeah, and that was on the small store. I didn't even look.
True, the big one.
Hold on, I can actually check real quick.
Damn. Yeah, but apparently his legs weren't sore, only his elbow was.
Bro, holding that thing.
He was holding a clipboard the whole time, guys. So
a lot of work.
Yeah, he was lifting the weights of paper. But now you guys are done. How was your day today? Did you have a lot of fun and stuff?
Yeah, we went to, I forget what it's called already, some Meow place. Wolf? No, but I was talking about the breakfast place this morning.
Oh, Dogwater breakfast place. We were going to go
to Snooze, but it was fucking packed.
Every time Snooze, there's one like literally up the street.
Yeah, I saw it while we were driving here. I was like, we should have gone to this one.
I know. But yeah, so we went to the Delectable Egg.
Yeah, it was Can't not read. Very delectable.
It wasn't, dude. That's a 4 out of 10 star for me. And I think you said 4.5 for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think Yelp said it was 4 out of 5, which is way better than it deserves.
Over what we thought it was going to be. Yeah, I don't know. Not the play. But then afterwards, you guys went to Meow Wolf, correct? You and your coworker?
We went to the Denver Meow Wolf exhibit. It's called the Convergence Station.
That was my rec. Of if you come to Denver, you should do it.
And did it.
And it was okay?
It was pretty good, yeah. I think it... I heard some stories from some other people that they had some substance assistance.
Yeah.
And I think that would definitely improve the experience.
It would definitely up it. Every time I've gone personally, I haven't, you know, been on any substance, but, you know... More power to those people that have, because I've been told also by people that have gone on, like, let's say marijuana
here,
that they've gotten panic attacks being in there with it.
Oh, I bet. Because there's some trippy rooms in there. There was one where it was literally just like two walls and like black and white squiggles. Yep. And you just like stare at it and you're just like,
yeah, and you're like, whoa, like the whole room's like slowly moving and stuff.
Yeah.
And then you go into like other rooms and it's like, I don't know, like miniature figures everywhere, or it's like a drum set upside down playing itself.
The music room was cool.
The music one.
There was really a drums and there was a piano on the wall. And then up on the ceiling, there's like a big skylight that looks like you're staring into space. And it's got xylophone, whatever the little bars are called, all around the circle.
Playing.
Yeah.
So like they're all like animatronic.
And they have lights on them. So every time it hits a note, it lights up.
Lights up. It's pretty cool. So if you're listening, that already sounds probably trippy enough. Now imagine being on a substance, going in there and literally being surrounded by this stuff with actors inside the experience that are like talking goobly-goo.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
Like people in there, they're all wearing weird outfits. There was a girl on the corner of C Street that was like, you could just walk up and describe an animal and she would draw it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. She was like, how many legs? What does its face look like? Oh, she would just like sit there and doodle it for you.
Wait, did you get to keep whatever she doodled?
I think so. I didn't do it.
Oh, you didn't do it.
Every time I walked by, there was like 5 people. I was like, I don't want to wait for this.
Yeah. There's also like another play, like a game area where you and whoever you came with can like battle each other and like.
Yeah, I saw that.
Whatever it was. But yeah, it's a crazy place. It's pretty big. It's like 4 floors, right? Or 3?
I think it's 3.
3 floors? Yeah. So massive. Big ass floors. but definitely a good time that you go in. For me personally, we went to brunch at that terrible place, and then I came back, and while I was waiting for Cayman to finish with Meow Wolf, I was gaming. So I didn't really do much. I had a good Friday. I just really relaxed.
How was the rest of your week?
Rest of my week was, let me think back. I mean, pretty good. I did do like some design work that I really enjoyed. I was doing some diagrams, which every time I start doing diagrams, it like really makes me happy. And I basically got to spend the end of last week and the beginning of this week doing diagrams. And there's one that I drew up that was like, that I really enjoy. I could see it like as a tattoo on me for sure.
Nice.
Or like someone else, like part of it. It's like a coffee cup and then like a half clock around the coffee cup. And
what
it's
was like, the diagram for?
It was basically showing like circulation path, like a rest break area, a collaboration area, and a lab area. And so those were all diagrams. And then gotcha. Above that was a sun diagram, mm-hmm. basically saying that the sun is feeding into all those spaces. And like all the spaces had arrows to each other because they were all connected by like the same pathway. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of all it showed. It was like, these are the spaces with light coming in and then arrows pointing to all of them saying that they're all intertwined, basically. Cool. Yeah. So it was a lot of fun. Good week. Although it's interesting, like sometimes I ask for feedback from, you know, the people I'm working under or for, I should say, and then they don't get back to me in like so long. So I start doing something else. And I did one diagram that I thought was just so freaking insanely cool, but I think it may be a little bit too intricate for people like regular Joes to understand, but it's like really sick. It's like a axonometric drawing of a dumbed down version of our building floor plans and vertical circulation. And it's basically showing the same thing my symbols is, but as a 3D model. It's really fucking cool. And then I have like the program outlined in like different colors and whatnot. So to me, if we look at it with our plans, it would really make sense. You're like, oh, that's what it is. That's how we walk through it. But maybe if you're just looking at it for the first time, it's hard to understand what's going on. But yeah, here we are. All right. Well, besides our fun work and, you know, our days and weeks. Oh, by the way, for the audience, we might go play indoor mini golf later today. So that should be fucking lit. I haven't done it yet here in Colorado. So
yeah, if we do end up doing that, we'll talk about it on next week's episode. Next time,
for sure. But yeah, so we're going to do that, but let's see, what film are we talking about today?
Today we are talking about the 2022 movie, The Menu. It was directed by Mark Malode, written by Seth Reese and Will Tracy, and stars Ralph Fiennes, Anya Taylor-Joy, and Nicholas Hoult.
Okay. Are there any in there that are big actors?
All three of the ones I just named are big actors.
Okay, cool. What big things do they play in movies or actor?
Nicholas Hoult is probably most famous for... He was a Beast in the like young X-Men movies.
Oh, yeah. I remember that guy.
He's also in the TV series The Great, which I really like.
What's that about? The Great? Oh, G-R-E-A-T or like?
E-A-T, yeah.
E-A-T, okay.
It's about...
Jennifer Lawrence?
No.
That's the only woman actress I know.
Catherine. It's about Catherine the Great of Russia.
Cool.
Yeah, but it's a good TV series. It's funny. It's
all right.
Emotional.
It's
a lot of stuff happening. Anya Taylor-Joy, also famous. She is in Peaky Blinders. If anyone is into that series, she was in The Northman, which was a pretty big movie recently. Northman.
Don't know what that is. Is that like an action movie?
It's about Vikings.
Oh, I totally watched that.
She was in The Queen's Gambit.
Okay, I know that one.
Yeah. So she's big as well. And then Ralph Fiennes is the oldest of the three. So he's been in a lot more stuff. He was in The King's Man. He was in... he's the follow-up M in the James Bond movies.
Yeah.
So M is originally played by Judi Dench. And then, spoiler alert, her character dies. Oh,
sorry guys. You did say it though. So,
but, Ray finds his character takes over as the new M after Judi Dench.
Yeah.
He's in the Lego movie, apparently. He's in a lot of stuff. I think probably his biggest role, but not necessarily the one you would remember him for, is he plays Voldemort in the Harry Potter movies.
Yeah.
But obviously so much makeup. So unless you like know who he is.
Yeah. There's one part in the movie that we're about to talk about, The Menu, where he said one specific thing at the very end of the movie, and it just, the Voldemort, I mean, it was like straight up the same thing that he would say as the character of Voldemort.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But yeah. How did you feel about The Menu?
You know, I watched it twice now. First time was late at night with some other friends. And then this time was like relatively later in the day with Sydney, my girlfriend. And quite honestly, like, I don't know. It was filmed very well, extremely well. And I loved like their shots and I liked the overall plot. But me as like a person, I really don't like horror things or movies that leave you in the end without like substance, like a feeling of like, ah, like that was good. Like I feel better, like that kind of stuff. The movies that like, I don't know, it didn't give me anything that like I could hang on to. Okay. Cause like, I know some German movies, when you watch them, the main character fucking dies at the end, but there's a moral to it. There's like a background story. Like he died because he was making the world a better place, so you should be a better human, right? In this movie, it was like, it happens. And then, I don't know, for me personally, at the end, I just kind of felt like, again, it was like a waste of my time. Although I would say the second time through watching it was a bit more enjoyable because I could like, because I knew what was going to happen. So I could really pay attention to the other like things that were happening that you wouldn't necessarily pay attention to the first time around.
Yeah.
With how the characters were acting or how like an overall storyline was developing already from the get-go. That's just my opinion. But like, you know, out of 10 points, I honestly would rate it probably 7.5. It just wasn't my favorite movie and I wouldn't want to watch it again. Well, maybe I would, but like, it's not with friends. Like right. I know it was a good movie and I would tell my dad to watch it, but that doesn't necessarily mean that I'm going to enjoy it.
I got you.
Yeah. What about you?
I think this was also a very different experience for me the first time I watched it and the second time I watched it. The first time it really did feel like you said, it's like more of like a, feels like a horror movie.
Yeah.
And like it's billed on IMDb as a horror slash thriller.
Right.
Watching it through the second time, I would call this movie a comedy.
Really?
I think this is one of the funniest fucking movies I've seen in a while.
I can see the comedic aspects to it, but like, I wouldn't.
I think it's like
interesting.
It's like a hardcore satire film.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, true. But there was still like that horror aspect to it with how they handled certain situations where all of a sudden something.
But happened. I think like the horror element is really just like it's shocking. And I think that's why it was so different the second time, because if you know it's going to happen, then the shock factor is gone.
Right. That's true.
And so
you can like pay attention to it a different way.
Right. And like the stuff that is horrific the first time is like, the actual stuff on screen isn't really that bad. Like there's some blood, but it's not like,
well, there's a lot of blood.
But there are way gorier movies. That is
very true.
Like it's not really that bad.
There wasn't as much gore, but it was more of like a quiet sense of like,
yeah, it was like suspenseful.
Yeah. And we can get more into that, I guess, when we give the spoiler warning, but
yeah. But also, before we get further into that, I would also like to mention this movie had a budget of an estimated $35 million.
Wow.
That's it. Yeah.
That's impressive. Mm-hmm. So how much did they make though? Or do we not know that because it was on?
No, I guess it didn't come out. I think it did come out in theaters for a while. I don't know.
Maybe it did.
I don't remember it coming out in theaters, but it's on HBO now, but it says here it ended up making almost $80 million.
So pretty good.
So
almost, I mean, triple.
Well, yeah.
If it was like $30 million, right?
$35 million.
Oh, 35. Oh, okay, so double.
Yeah. And with marketing costs, that's pretty close to even, honestly.
Mm.
But they're also still making money from it being on HBO.
That's fair.
So
I watched it yesterday, so they get more money. I don't know if that's how it works, but
yeah, I don't really know how streaming. Bless you.
Thank you.
I don't know how streaming affects everything financially, but
yeah, if it's like a one-time payout or if it's like a yearly 500 million people watched it,
so you get no idea
a shit ton of money. I don't know.
But yeah, we can get more into it in a bit, but first let's step into the boxing ring.
Let's do this. So last time I went first, so this time you go first.
All right. I am going to say...
See, guys, now I know he's not cheating because he's in front of me. Good luck, Kaden.
Fuck, I'm going to do even better than before.
Oh, God.
I just actually looked at it before, Ricky.
You fucking idiot. Walking up the stairs, you're like, I know what to say. Okay, we're good.
I'll say when... A food... I don't know what to call. There's like a proper name for people like that, but like a person who loves food.
Connoisseur.
Yeah, I guess.
Food connoisseur?
A foodie.
A foodie. Honestly? Yeah.
When a foodie and his date.
When a Yelpie?
and his date go to an exclusive island restaurant renowned for its. Narrative menu. The guests of the restaurant are in for a surprise.
That's a good one.
That's what I got.
All right. I should just do exactly what you did and then add more to it. I thought about doing that, but I couldn't memorize everything you just said. Let's see here. When I have to do with the foodie thing too. When a food connoisseur and his lady friend get on a boat to go to a secluded island for a once-in-a-lifetime exclusive meal experience, what they thought they were going to encounter. I wanted to mention the chef somehow, but I don't know how to fit him in there. The chef really brought the menu to them.
All right,
that's all I got.
Are you ready for this?
Yeah, let's hear it.
It says, a couple travels to a coastal island to eat at an exclusive restaurant where the chef has prepared a lavish menu with some shocking surprises.
Okay, that's not bad. It didn't like give too much away. I said chef and I mentioned island. We both said it's something about the menu.
Yeah.
And then we both said couple.
Yeah. Well, we didn't specifically say couple, but we both mentioned the guy and the girl.
His lady friend.
We both said exclusive island. You mentioned the chef, but I mentioned the surprises. Mm-hmm.
You didn't mention the island, did you? Did you? You did? Okay.
I said an island restaurant.
Okay. Is there anything that I mentioned that you didn't?
I mean the chef.
The chef. I mean, it's kind of a big deal.
But you didn't mention the surprises, and I did.
That's fair. What did I say about that? I said...
You said he brought the menu to them.
I did say that. I couldn't mention a surprise because you already said it. I was like, fuck, can't take the whole thing. Okay. Well, I mean, I don't know. That's up to you.
We can try and do a tiebreaker. That was pretty close. I think we both did a pretty decent job, honestly.
Yeah, I agree.
What's a good tiebreaker? I'll let you choose this time because I don't know. Every time I choose it, you're like, well, okay. That's something you would know.
How old is the chef?
Or how old is Ralph Fiennes?
How old is Ralph? Do you know this guy?
I don't know his age, no.
Okay, good. How old is Ralph Fiennes? That's my tiebreaker.
Okay.
Or should we do how old is that girl?
Anya Taylor-Joy?
Yeah, because she's less famous, right? Or is she just as famous?
I mean, less famous, but not by much.
Okay. Do you want to do him or her?
I don't care.
Let's do him.
Okay.
He's more fun.
How old is Ralph Fiennes?
You go first.
I'll say 60.
I'm going to say he's around 60, such a good guess. He's like 65.
Right.
That's all I could think of.
Oh my God. He is exactly 60 years old.
He looked it up.
I did not.
Okay, damn, he's 60. Wow, okay.
He was born December 22nd, 1962.
Damn, dude. Well, I guess you fucking win again. All right. Cool.
I can't believe I got that spot on.
That's so stupid. Alrighty, well, I think it's time for an ad break, and then we're going to get into the spoiler section.
Oh, show.
Let's do it. And we're back. So I don't have my my buddy to do the animatronic noises this time around. So Cayman, I think I'm going to open up to you to let them have a spoiler section.
Oh, yeah?
Yep. I think this is your first one. I don't think you've ever done that, right?
There was one episode that you weren't on that I did.
Was it you? I thought that was Elena that did it when I wasn't on it. Mm-mm. Or for the Winter Express. Who was that?
Yeah, for the Polar Express, I did it.
Oh, that was you?
Yeah.
All right, you have a second chance.
All right. Well, in that case, we're going back to the classics.
Oh, God.
Hey there. How's it going? You trying to listen to this review right here? Because I'm going to let you know right now, this is a spoiler review. So if you don't want this movie to be spoiled for you, you might want to check out now. And come back later. Thanks.
Wow, that was really close to the mic that you can hear, like, all your crisp syllables. That's good. All right, well, that's the spoiler section opener. Hope everyone, you know, you got your 10 seconds to pause the podcast. Where do you want to start? Are you going to talk about this as the first time that you watched the movie, or the second time, or just as an overall?
I think just overall.
Okay.
I mean, I made notes the second time, but I remember the first time I watched it.
Me too. First time, I thought it was such a waste of time. I was so upset. I was like, I would rather have watched Shrek. Just because, like, at night, dude, I literally lose fingernails during those intense movies. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't intentionally do it, but, like, yesterday, even watching it a second time, like, Sydney looked over and I was like, cause it's just like a nerve thing. Like, yeah. I don't know. I literally lose fingernails during my exams and watching scary movies. That's how it is.
It's rough
for me, yeah. But
just have to duct tape your hands together for the next scary
honestly,
movie.
Honestly, facts, dude. Just duct tape my fingernails away. So the movie basically starts off on the dock, on a ship dock, and it basically introduces most of the characters off the get-go because there's only 12 of them.
Yeah.
and it introduces Margot. Well, it doesn't introduce her by name. You just kind of figure out like she's.
Yeah, you just see these two people talking, and you can tell one of them, the guy, is like super excited, and the girl is just like leaning against the pole, just like smoking. She starts smoking. He's like, "You're gonna ruin your palate."
Yeah, yeah, and she's like, "Well, my palate's enjoying it right now." but yeah, so like that happens, and they give you like a really coupley vibe, really at the start, because at one point she asks like, "Oh, like you didn't go to prom?" And he was like, "No, I didn't." She was like, "Why?" And he was like, "Well, no one like as awesome as you would ever take me."
Yeah, he's like really flirty with her.
Like at the start.
Even like through there's a couple parts where he's not, but
it's really cringe.
For like the first, I want to say like two or three courses, he's like, "Oh, well, you're the most beautiful person here," or whatever like that.
That's true. He does kind of bring it on, which I think like is a good thing for us watching it because we're out here. We're thinking that they're a couple.
Yeah.
And it really, really dives down deep into that of like, we love each other kind of thing. And then later on, you fucking find out
that. She like leans her head on his chest at one point and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then later on, you fucking find out that he literally invited her to the slaughterhouse.
Yeah.
Which is just mind blowing.
She's a high end escort. Mm-hmm. And so he just hired her to come.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of like double entendre kind of things. Like in the beginning of the movie, because she keeps mentioning like, "Oh, well, I don't really care since you're paying and it's your money and all that stuff."
Oh, true.
And the first time you're like, it seems as if it's like, "Oh, you're paying for the meal and all of that stuff." But it also could like be referring to the fact that he's paying for her.
Right. True. He's paying for her presence to be there.
So she's like, "I don't care. You're paying."
That's true. Yeah. 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 I mean, yeah. To me and Sydney both, like, he's definitely the least liked character out of everyone there. It's that guy.
Yeah. And I didn't notice it the first time, but when I was watching again, they mentioned the ticket for, or I ticket's 1200? A weird word. Yeah, but he said $12.50 per head for that restaurant. And I was like,
damn. Same. I was like, what the fuck? And that's when she mentioned, like, holy shit, like, what? That much? And she was like, well, I guess if you're paying, whatever.
Yeah.
And then they got on there, and like the first thing that you see, it's interesting, like the beginning, maybe 25, 30 minutes of the movie is like very positive and like it drags you in. You kind of get interested in like the food experience that they're having, like where they're going.
Well, and even seeing, like before the movie even starts, the opening credits, it like has a very like, it's like a welcoming into the movie. It says like, oh, I think I wrote it down here. Hold on. Yeah, it says Searchlight Pictures invites you to experience the menu.
Right.
And so they're like just immediately bringing you into this movie as if it's this huge thing.
Yeah. Massive, like almost like a ball. It kind of reminded me of like the Titanic at the start, where everything is very nice and casual and you're having such a great time. But then the shit happens. And yeah. It's like, oh, well, everyone's dead. So kind of goes along that same path.
Yeah.
But yeah, so like, and then, I mean, here and there at the start, you do kind of have these, you know, questionable moments. Mm. Like, I don't remember exactly what I thought the first time around, but like, oh, we have flurries outside. It's snowing a little bit.
Oh, nice.
Like when they're first getting to the boat and they're about to hit the ramp, they like see the other characters that you'll be seeing in the movie or in the, you know,
in the restaurant.
Restaurant with them. And the first thing that we see is her. She like sees this old guy on the ramp and she's like, oh crap. Like, oh no.
And she like tries to hide her face a little bit.
Yeah. She like looks away, but that's like all we get.
Yeah.
And then of course, later on we find out the full fledged story of it. But
and then there's like a famous like food restaurant reviewer person. Mm-hmm. And then there's like these three weird guys that are just
like jocks.
Yeah. They like, don't seem like they belong with the rest of the group.
Well, I mean, I don't know, man. Those like bankers and whatnot, they're like the frat boys of like the business world.
Yeah, but they're like, they're not, they don't have the same kind of attitude that everyone else has. Like everyone else is like taking it more seriously and they're just like, yeah, whatever, let's go eat some fancy food.
That's true. They're in it for the party kind of aspect. Yeah, yeah, that's fair.
And then there's a movie star.
Right, that guy with his girlfriend.
I think, I don't know, I don't think it's his girlfriend. I think it's like his agent or something like that.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah.
I thought they were together.
Because she keeps talking about like
his properties.
Like, I thought, like leaving, and she already like set up an interview with Sony or something like that. Like she was trying to like work for someone else.
Interesting. Oh, I took it like completely different. I took it as in like she's like just trying to break up with him because of like, I don't know what. Yeah. And she's like giving him his keys back for all of his properties. And she's like in this property that no one knows of.
Yeah, I think I just took that as like she's just like his personal assistant or something like that.
That could be. Maybe she's
Because she was like, at the end, she's like, I've been stealing money from you. And he's like, I know. She says, I know, you know.
Yeah. So it's like, what the fuck?
But yeah, when they get to the island, they go on this like big tour of everything. And I feel like that the same as like the opening credits and stuff, all of this stuff just like sort of serves to draw you into this high end food experience where they're like walking around and they're like, oh, look at their fishing for scallops that you're going to be eating tonight. And they have
this old school fisherman out there in the wood boat.
And like, they have fishing. Like they said their smokehouse is in the Nordic style. And I was like, what does the fuck does that mean in the Nordic style?
Maybe it's like a certain way that the air rotates in the building and then.
Yeah, I don't know.
Wooden, whatever. But yeah, no, I agree. Like amazing shots.
Yeah.
And
they keep having like these like high definition, like close up nature shots of like birds and butterflies and all this shit.
Yeah. I wrote down, I was like super colorful, fresh. Like it gives you like a super fresh feel.
Yeah.
And then animal life.
Yeah.
And just like amazing shots. But before that all happened, when they exited the boat, that's when we were introduced to the main hostess.
Yes, Elsa.
Asian lady. And
that's also when we find out that Margo is new, because when they go to check in, she is expecting a different girl to be with
him. Right. And when she was expecting that, you could tell that the lady didn't approve of her being there. You could tell that kind of like
he was upset like, her. Oh, no, this is Margo. And then you see Elsa like gives him an eye because I think she knows what he knows.
Yeah.
And so she's like, dude.
Yeah. So basically that happens. And then like while they are walking away, Margo like looks back at the boat as it was leaving And it kind of like gives you, again, like one of these like weird eerie vibes of like, that is the, like, now you're stuck on this island. And you could tell that she kind of felt uncomfortable with the whole thing, with her not being the main person that was supposed to be there, with the way that she was treated by the hostess, and with the boat leaving. That's kind of how it's like, the weird parts kind of slip in, but then it goes into like those beautiful nature shots and you kind of forget about that.
Yeah. And then there's like classical music playing the whole time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then when they get into the restaurant, there's like all these close-up shots of all the sous chefs, like very delicately. Yeah.
Putting everything.
Like, and everything just looks so beautiful.
Yeah.
And just like, it really pulls you in.
It does. Yeah. You're like, this is kind of fucking cool.
Yeah.
Like $1,200. Maybe that's a good, that's a reason for that.
Right.
But like, again, they, so they go through these beautiful shots. Then they end up in like this half dome thing, hangar area where all, like, I guess the chefs sleep.
Yeah, it's like a, it literally like looks like a military barracks.
It does. Military barracks. Perfect way to describe it. Yeah, like super clean. And they're like, we live as a family.
And there's like, it's just like a row of beds. There's like toilets at the end and everything's just open.
Yeah, yeah. So they see that and you could tell, like, kind of weird.
Yeah.
Kind of like, yeah. And then they keep walking and then they see like this weird old wooden house.
Yeah, it's like, almost like a cabin.
Yeah. And they're like, who lives there? Well, that guy asks, who lives there? And then she's like, that's the chef's house. And he's like, well, can we see that? And they were like, what did she say? She was like, no one goes into the chef's house.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, okay. And so then they go to the restaurant. And I mean, I think the architecture of the restaurant is very beautiful.
It was.
With the like single pivoting door, massive like double pivot or single pivot, but like it pivots in the middle.
Right.
That opens it flush open and really fucking cool.
This is just like a taste, like a personal taste thing, but I don't like doors like that.
I mean, yeah.
But it looks cool.
It looks really cool. I agree. I wouldn't put it on my own fucking house that I would design. But no, yeah. It looks really cool, I would say. It did give, like, it elevated the restaurant a bit.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like this big fucking thing swinging open. They all walk in there. And again, this, like, all these great fun shots are happening with great music. Or like at least upbeat music. And then the door starts swinging closed. Margo looks back and she's like, boom, bam, there it is.
Yeah, she's like very feeling. Like off about everything from the beginning. Yeah. And even like when they're on the boat and because they get like a, not even an appetizer, but just like, oh, before you get to the island, here's a special gift from the chef. And it's like this.
Like a clam.
Yeah.
With some balls on it.
Some balls on it. What's oyster. That's what it is.
Oh, oyster. Yeah, they do get an oyster.
But it's like an oyster with, I think, like some caviar or something on top. There's like some little, they look like caviar, but I don't know. They slurp it down and Tyler, the guy, is like,
yeah.
And then Margo is like, I'd rather just have the oyster.
Facts. Yeah.
And
yeah, she's very aware.
Yeah.
She's just real.
She's just like not into all the fluff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's just OG. Just like, yeah, cool. Whatever. Yeah. Next. Go next.
Right.
Please. GG's. Yeah. I mean, but then like when they went in there, the door closed, she's just like so aware and everyone else is just like, oh, this is great. I love it.
Even when they're on the tour, she says they've reached the base camp of Mount Bullshit.
Yeah. And everyone's eating it up. Like fucking, yeah.
And then you can tell how that, and I like you were saying earlier, how Tyler is like the worst character. Mm-hmm. Even when they go inside the restaurant and he immediately goes up to that guy and he's like, oh, did you use a whatever, whatever to do that? And he's like, oh, yes, I did. You're very smart, Tyler. And he's like, oh, you know my name? And he's like, oh, we know everyone. And then he gets back to the table. Margo's like, why didn't you ask his name? And he's like, well, you know, as if it's like he's not important because he's just like the staff.
He's just some guy up there.
Right.
You know, whatever. Yeah. So it kind of like gives like a whole pan of the area. And I think it was interesting because like I never quite. Well, I mean, I understand it, but I never quite understand why his mom was in there solo in the corner, like the old lady.
Yeah.
Like hunched over in like the single table just being fed alcohol the whole night.
She was
basically
just, by the end of the movie, she was straight passed out. She was just on the table.
Yeah. Yeah. Which I mean, good for her because she.
Right.
Yeah. But I mean, that kind of threw me off. I feel like that old lady just in the corner, I could have done without her.
Really?
I mean, I guess it added a little bit more depth to the chef himself.
Yeah.
But at the same time,
mainly for his benefit.
Yeah. Yeah. like you, there's so many shots of him like going over to his mother, like whispering in her ear.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't know what he's saying.
Yeah.
You don't see any reactions from his mom either. Besides that one, true. Besides the one story where he was talking about like, you know, his mom was being choked by his dad. And he like basically stabbed his dad in the thigh with some scissors.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, I should have stabbed him in the neck. And that's the turning point of the whole thing.
That's when everyone's like, wait a second.
I was like, what? Yeah. But before we get there, I loved the chef's character.
Yeah.
I love the depth that he gave. His acting, I thought, was phenomenal. Of like him being super serious, and all of a sudden when he's talking to the character or to the attendees, he would like clap.
Yeah.
And then the first thing that he said basically was run the lines of, don't eat, taste, relish, savor, accept all of it, and forgive. That's what he said.
Yeah.
I was like, holy smokes, like that itself you have to digest throughout the whole movie because
Well, and that's like, and that's why you like the movie really tries in the beginning to like pull you over almost like to Tyler's point of view. Like he's like all in this experience and he's like, oh my gosh. And he like starts crying when the chef is talking.
And he cries after he says that.
Right.
Yeah.
And like, I feel like, and especially the movie is trying to take the audience and like push them into Tyler's corner. I feel like so that later it can like the tearing away of it.
It just fucking hurts way more. Yeah.
Right. Because and even like all of the courses throughout the movie, they like have a title card and like shows you all the ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like it gives you that feeling where you're like, oh, this is a beautiful dish. And like, oh, I could get those ingredients and maybe I can like start doing food stuff. And like, it really gets you into it. But that's why I was saying earlier that I think this movie is a satire because after a certain point and well, not even after a certain point, really the whole movie, but it's just like making fun of people like that. It like people that are so obsessed with something that they're literally willing to die for it.
Yeah.
And it's just like, look how ridiculous these people are. This is stupid. And throughout the whole movie.
That's true. That's true. And like all the dishes that they brought out.
Yeah.
It started off like making sense.
And yeah. Like the
slowly got like
the oyster is like, that's a normal thing. But then like after a while, it's like they push it to the boundary of believability because it's like something that you could like, someone would probably spend money for that. But at the same time, it's stupid as fuck. Like their first dish is like that was like the little cucumber balls or whatever. And like, again, that's like a normal appetizer. I feel like everyone could be on board with that.
I've never had that, but yeah.
Well, but then the second one is like the whole plate is just rocks and there's a single scallop on top. And I'm like, is that a dish though?
Yeah.
But it's like, it feels just barely real enough that someone would order something that stupid.
Yeah. I mean, the way they presented that single oyster.
Right.
It was beautiful.
And then the one after that, the breadless bread plate is like, they're just like,
ingredients.
Yeah, it's like, they're seeing how stupid they can make these plates before the audience catches on that they're stupid.
That's just dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it was that dish though. It was the ingredients dish where some of them, those three jocks really.
And they had like, give them a card and they're like, the bread you're not eating today was baked by our blah, blah, blah. And sourced from organic wheat from so-and-so.
Yeah. Yeah. The whole movie is just kind of like that.
Yeah.
And having paid what, $1,250 for it, they aren't upset enough. The people really.
And that's why. And I like Margot's there to like bring you a little bit back to center. Cause she's like, no, they're ripping you off. Yeah. You can't just give us sauce. We need actual bread.
Yeah. And she even said to Tyler, she was like, they're literally calling you an idiot.
Yeah.
Like,
and that's what the movie is doing.
That's exactly
everyone in that restaurant, except for Margot, is an idiot.
Yeah. Very true. Yeah.
And then right with the, I think what really like when it starts getting into the like proper, I don't know. I feel like this movie at times is so funny without ever really like making a joke. Like there's never like a setup and a punchline, but like just the kind, well, I guess maybe there's like one joke. Cause at one point, like the chef like quotes MLK, and like in the background someone's like, was he just referencing Martin Luther King? And someone's like, yeah. It's like, that's fucking funny.
Yeah.
But like, I think that's the only like actual joke throughout the movie. But even just like stupid things, like during the whatever taco dish with the scissors, and the three business guys, they have like bank records print, 3D printed on or laser
cut on,
onto their tortillas. And he brings Elsa over. He's like, excuse me, what are these? And she goes, those are tortillas.
She says like 2-3 times.
Just like, that fucking cracked me up.
It did for me too. Like at least both times for sure. Because the way she said it, she's like, are you an idiot? Right. Like, those are tortillas.
Tortillas.
She's like, no, they're like, no, what's on there? She's like, oh, well, those are your bank records.
Yeah.
Like, so like matter of fact.
Yeah.
And then there was another point that I only understood the second time that I watched it, where they were like, oh, like, do you know who we are? We're so powerful. We know this guy. He can like shut you down tomorrow. She was like, oh,
that won't worry. Be necessary.
That won't be necessary. It's like, oh, like because she knows they're going to fucking blow that place up.
Yeah.
Burn everyone in it alive. Yeah. But honestly, like the only great part about Tyler, the idiot guy, for me was at the start where he was basically explaining why, like, he's such a fan of Chef because of like the scallops and like he put it into like all these like what did he say? I forgot exactly what he said, but he basically explained why fine dining is so special and how it is a different form of living.
He said musicians and athletes are meaningless. Chefs play with the raw ingredients of life and death.
Right, and I thought that was like really cool. I was like,
but yeah, that's the kind of stuff. Or and like Margot even goes like, I think I'm starting to get it. And you can see she's like, not really into it.
But she didn't go find me. She was like, that sounds like something believable.
Right.
You know, like, okay, sure.
Because and so like,
true, there are raw ingredients.
Yeah.
And every person's made up of ingredients, technically. Yeah. Just depends on how you put them together, which is the whole thing of the movie. It's like, sure, you can have the ingredients, but you're not going to be able to do what we do as an art.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why a chef at one point brings up Tyler to be like, oh, well, you're a chef. You know all these ingredients. You can tell it by just the taste and smell.
Yeah.
So make something for
us. You know what a Paco Jet is.
Yeah. And then he's like, oh, no. He was like, no, we need to learn. And he was like dicing. He was like, oh, a new dicing technique. What did he say? I wrote this down. Oh, shit. It was so funny. He said, what did he say?
I think he said like a new dicing technique. Of which we have been ignorant up until now or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. Where is it? Yeah. Oh, a new dicing method to which we've been woefully ignorant.
Yeah.
And then like after the whole thing, you see like the card of what that was. And it was like Tyler's bullshit.
Right.
And I was like, God damn.
Like, yeah. Oh my God. This movie's so fucking funny.
It's way better the second time around, I feel like. Because the first time, like, I don't know. You're thinking too much about like different things, possibilities that could be happening.
When there's also just like, there's so much mystery. And so I feel like the first time you watch it, you're just like trying to figure shit out.
Yeah.
And there's like the weird silver door and you're like, what the fuck's behind that door?
And
like, and you're just like, you're so focused on other stuff. But I feel like once you know the basic story and you like go back, you're like, oh no, this whole movie is a fucking joke.
Yeah.
This movie is like, these people are fucking idiots.
Facts. Yeah. Totally agree. The unaccompanied accompaniments.
Right.
Yeah, and there's like a lot of things that were said that like I just honestly just didn't understand because I'm not a foodie.
Yeah.
Like, oh, like she was looking at one of the ingredients. She was like, this is split. And I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? How is that thing split? And then he brought her like a giant bowl of like, oh, here's this split thing that you wanted more of. I don't know exactly, but I don't know. There's still things in the movie that I just don't understand.
When a emulsion splits is when the like, because an emulsion is when you mix things that can't actually mix, like oil and water. Okay. Yeah. And so if an emulsion breaks, that just means the oil and the water have separated again.
Mm-hmm. She was like, you don't want to see that in a restaurant.
Yeah.
Okay. That's fair. I get that. Yeah. So basically like before, you know, instead of like going into every detail, what did you think of like the storyline from them entering to like the whole thing that chef has going on? Like, what did you think about that? Like, what? That's how I ended the movie. Like, what? And I have still so many questions of, like, one.
Well, and I think that's the other thing is beyond just making fun of people, I think there is, like, an actual message in this movie, which is basically, like, kind of what Margot was, like, confronting the chef with at the end. And I was like, yeah, you don't love cooking. You're obsessed with cooking. And there's a difference. And even right. Chef said at one point earlier, he was like, perfection is impossible. And it's been hard for me to accept that because I strive for perfection. And I've spent my life trying to please people that can't be pleased.
Right.
And think like that's like the sincere message in the movie is just like, you can't always be like trying to reach this impossible goal, because like, you just need to, like, as long as you love what you do, it doesn't matter whether you're the best at it or not.
Very true. Very true. Yeah. I guess that is his message. That's his message, right?
I think that's the movie's message.
The whole movie's right. But what I don't understand is why the sub chefs were so attached to the main chef.
That was something that it kind of threw me off the first time I watched it. And
it just leaves like a weird taste in my mouth.
It does. And I hadn't thought about it. And I have a trivia fact about this later that might clear it up a little, but okay. It's also something that, like, both times I watched it, I was like, I don't know. I feel like, cause like I was saying earlier, I feel like a lot of this movie, like, it dances on the line of believable and not believable. And for me, when I was watching it, the fact that there were so many people, like, just doing whatever the chef says, that right. was like almost a little bit too unbelievable to me.
I mean, they
even
they,
like the like
he was a god,
like the Coast Guard guy. I was like, how the fuck did they get him in?
That was another whole question.
Like, yeah.
What the fuck? She like raided this guy. He came with a National Guard's boat.
Mm.
He walked in there and then this whole thing. And again, he just like lit a candle with his fake gun.
Yeah.
Like a lighter gun. I was just like, what the fuck's going on here? Mm. Like, how do they plan that prior to it happening?
Yeah, there was, I don't know if I actually put this in our trivia. Hold on. Let me check real quick before I start saying stuff, but okay. I don't have it. So I'll talk about it here. But, I saw something else where it was talking about, like, and this is something that, like, you have to have some knowledge to be able to pick up on, but the radio that she calls out on is, like, there's apparently, like, two kinds of radios, and the radio that she saw was a CB radio.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know what the other kind was, but it was something that's not a CB.
Yeah.
And it was saying, like, she did use the correct, like, frequency that would normally be an emergency call, but CB radios don't have the same range that whatever the other kind of radio is.
Yeah.
And so because it's not the right kind of radio, she wouldn't realistically be able to get in touch with the actual Coast Guard, which means she wasn't actually making an emergency call. She was just like, it had all been set up previously where, like, she just connected to that one guy's radio. And it's like,
but there's no way they would have known that, because, like, unless the chef predicted that she was going to kill the hostess and then take her chain and open the silver
door. I think it's just like, obviously they knew they were going to trap 12 people on the island. So they're like, if someone manages to get to this radio, then we can, like, fake them out and stuff like that. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know, but that was like a really good juke out.
But yeah,
like,
that was super weird.
I was like, what the fuck is going on here?
And then I was expecting it to go the other way where he was like, he was a serious Coast Guard member. And then all of a sudden they just like killed. Fucking murder him. Yeah.
That's kind of what I would have rather wanted it to be, honestly. I mean, granted, it was a really cool shift. The fact that all of a sudden he just lit a candle. He goes up to the chef, says, you did a great job. Thank yeah. you. Gets a chef coat and goes like working in the back or something. I don't know exactly where he went, but.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Interesting that happened. Another like big question that I have is the chef himself and the way that he chose the people. Because like for the actor, right? He was like, oh, I watched that movie. And every time I see your face, it just gives me the irks.
Yep.
And then the chick, he was like, did you go to college? She was like, yeah. He was like, did you have student loans? She said, no. He was like, you're dying. I was like, what?
Well, I think it seemed like he had vendettas for at least one person at each table. And then the other person was just like, sorry, is what it is.
You think so?
Yeah. So I think it was like, he was like, I'm mad at you for that movie. And then the other girl was like, what about me? And he's like, sorry, you're dying because he brought you.
Well, he said like, oh, you didn't have student loans, so you're dying. That's what he said.
I think it was just like,
literally like matter of fact. He was like, what college did you go to? And she told him, he was like, did you have student loans? And she goes, no. And he goes, yep, you're dying.
Yeah. But like, I don't think he was saying she's dying because of any of that other stuff. It was just like, oh, sorry, you have a good life, but you're still going to die.
That's fucking crazy. I mean, that's just like next level. The other people there, I kind of understand.
Because like, that was even the same thing with Margot initially, is like, she literally had nothing to do with it. And then even when she goes up in the beginning and he's like, you're not supposed to be here. And she's like, well, can I leave? And he's like, absolutely not. You're still going to die.
Yeah.
So like, it doesn't, I think it doesn't matter who the guest is, as long as the initial person is there.
Yeah. I mean, I guess, but it just still does not match like his persona of being so calculated with everything. You know what I'm saying? Like, everything up to even like Tyler going in there and cooking and
but he even said that wasn't initially part of the menu.
True, but like he made that part of the thing. And then like letting the guys go and running to make them feel like the women do. You know, like that's like a whole like what?
But I think that's another part that I thought was like the same way that the first few meals like are kind of treated seriously.
Yeah.
I feel like when Chef is going through the reasons that he wants people dead, it like kind of starts off on a more serious note and then it just gets more and more ridiculous. Like the first one is the critic, and he's like, you've ruined a bunch of livelihoods because you rated these restaurants badly and now all those people have lost their jobs. And right. It's like, okay, that's like a genuine thing to be upset about.
Makes sense. And the person that she was with was the initiator.
Right. And then he goes on to the like owner person. I don't remember what his name is, but those three guys are like, you don't own this restaurant. That other guy does. And he's like, well, now I own him. And he's like hanging outside the window. And the reason he kills that guy. Suit. Yeah. Well, because he's an angel investor.
So weird.
But the reason that he kills that guy is because he said he asked for a substitution. And we don't make substitutions at this restaurant.
He was so pissed about that. I think that's the most mad that he got throughout the whole movie.
Yeah.
Is that moment where he was talking about the owner telling him to make a substitution for the menu.
Yeah.
Like next level of like, holy shit. Like this guy's fucking crazy.
And so that's one of those things where I'm like, okay, like that's kind of silly. And then, like you said, he goes on to the actor and he's like, I didn't like your movie.
Yeah. I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
Just like, it keeps getting more and more ridiculous as to the reasons he wants these people dead.
Yeah.
Just like, it's so hilarious.
To me, the actor one was the most ridiculous. Like, it's just a fucking role. He even said that. He was like, he was like,
my one day off.
Yeah.
And I wasted it.
Watching your stupid movie on a Sunday, a holy day for me. I was like, what in the world is going on here? But I mean, it is what it is. And at one point he did mention he was like talking to the group. He was like, why didn't you try to break out?
No.
Why didn't you try harder? You could have.
I like that when they did the guys running away thing. They like had the little egg for the last person. They were like, here you go. Yeah.
And again, how the fuck did they find that guy in the chicken coop?
What?
With an egg. He opened the little door.
Really good at hide and seek.
Handed him the egg and then closed the door again. Like, what the fuck, dude?
That was fucking hilarious.
It was funny as shit. But I'm like, again, like, I'm thinking way too literally. Like, there's no fucking way.
Or like even the freaking...
In the whole island?
There's a scene where like it's right after Margot finds the radio. And the film immediately cuts from her making a distress call to everyone singing happy birthday to the guy at the table. I fucking died.
And he was like, you told them it was my birthday? And like, they were like...
Seemed like a funny idea 3 hours ago.
That was good. It had this weird... ornamental thing on it that looked like a crown. Bro, I thought they were going to smash his head into it. I thought that's how he was going out. Bro, that was
fucking funny.
It was good. It was good. I like that they did that, though. From the super serious situation of Margot killing the waitress lady.
Yeah.
and then finding the radio, and then it goes to like happy birthdays. Like,
right.
What the fuck,
like, dude? This movie is like just full of like I said, like there's barely any like actual jokes, but just like the way that the movie is cut and the dialogue is just like, and the way that people like the performances, like with the tortilla thing, like the fucking way she says tortillas, amazing.
Perfect. Yeah. Like, and she says it twice to right. reemphasize how funny that is, that they're asking what that is. Like, do you not know what a tortilla is?
This movie is just, it's got the laughs, man.
I mean, not the first time around. You have to watch it two or three times to understand.
Like, yeah. Oh,
okay. There's the funnies. If you only watch it once, like, I think that's this, one thing for the listeners.
Yeah,
like if you
this watch movie
it
only, is
you have to watch it twice.
Definitely worth watching twice because it's a completely different experience. No,
you have to watch
it. The first time it is like pretty much just a horror movie, and the second time it's a satire.
Yeah, it's weird. It just changes completely, and that's why I was like dreading it the second time. I was like, I texted you beforehand. I was like, I fucking hate that I have to watch this shit again. Like, I literally got to Sydney's apartment last night, and I was like, this is just ruining my day. And I watched, so, and it was like less bad, you know. It was just like, okay, I could focus on other things happening. So again, to the listeners, watch it twice. Coming from me as a person that doesn't really care for these types of movies, definitely worth it. But what did you think of her putting together the clues of the chef?
Seeing his little employee of the month, whatever.
Yeah, and like him flipping a burger which is like the only smiling picture that he had. Like all the other pictures, like his wedding day, his opening of the restaurant, him and his family in a picture. None of them he was smiling in, except for the one where he was looking down at a patty flipping it.
Yeah.
What did you think of all that and how she put that together and how she,
I think that was,
and played it out to be like,
yeah, I think that was saving. And I think that because chef's entire reason for like, well, and there was the, I forget her name, but the sous chef who was like, oh, it was my idea for everyone to die.
Oh God, she was fucking crazy. She was batshit crazy. She was like, yeah, that was my idea. I wanted to put everything together in like a big, you know, good ending.
But
like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
But the chef had said that he just like, he lost his passion for cooking. Mm-hmm. And so that's why he's like, okay with everyone dying. Cause he's like, I'm tired of like, he's tired of he separates everyone into the givers and takers. And he's like, I'm tired of giving to people who all they do is take. And like, I'm not getting anything from it anymore. And
well, at that point, why do you keep going? Right. It's like, just quit.
But that's his whole life.
Start over, bro.
I mean, yes, but
you know, like,
that's the kind of person who the movie is making fun of, is someone who's like obsessed with like, they have nothing else in life besides cooking, and so that's what they put everything into, and they can't just quit. It's cook or die for those people.
Bro.
And like, obviously this is an extreme example. I don't think anyone in real life would take it that far, but like, there are people out there who are like just so fucking into some things.
My dad, bro, he's so fucking into what he does, there's nothing else that gives him that same type of joy. But he actually loves it, though. That's the difference.
Right
Like, he's not doing it just because that's the only thing he knows. It's like, he actually enjoys what he's doing.
But
he's one of those people for sure.
But yeah, I think because she was able to bring him back to a state of mind where he actually enjoyed cooking again.
At least for a split second.
At least for a little bit. That's why he let her go.
Because you could see his like mouth kind of like grinning.
When he was back, like, when she goes, I want a cheeseburger. And he was like,
yeah. His lips started twitching up. He was like,
I can make you a cheeseburger.
I can make you the first cheeseburger you've ever tasted. It's the best thing ever.
I love that he brought it out on a ceramic plate that looked like a bent paper plate.
Yeah.
I was like, where did you have that stash?
I don't know. He was like, we have everything.
Right.
So, but I also think the method that he made that cheeseburger in was interesting. I thought it was cool.
Like with the onions?
Yeah. He put like the onions on top of the burger and then flipped it.
Yep.
And then I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
I should do that. Rather than doing them separately, you put the meat in the bowl, you crunch the bowl, put, you know, pepper on it, put your onions on top, let that simmer for a while, flip it, and then put the cheese on the back end.
And he says American cheese is the best cheese for a cheeseburger because it melts without splitting.
Yep.
And I thought that was also like a little funny because I don't know how big into the cheese world you are.
But, I love cheese.
But like,
I don't pay attention to splitting cheese.
People don't like, there's a surprising amount of controversy around American cheese.
That's true. People
because don't it's like American because it's like not, it's not a, it's not cheese in the same way that other cheeses are cheese. American cheese is like a processed mixture of like two or three other cheeses.
Right.
Instead of being a cheese by itself. And right. So people are like, American cheese isn't real cheese. But
it's a mudblood of cheese.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. American cheese does taste really fucking good though.
Yeah.
Like they did a good job inventing it. I don't know. Can't say anything against it. And then again, after like he finished serving her the cheeseburger, like the sign came up for the cheeseburger and it said, just a well-made cheeseburger.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah.
I was debating with myself at the end because obviously we know that Margo is an escort and part of the duties of someone in that position are to make your client feel like you're enjoying it. You don't just want them to enjoy themselves. You want them to believe that you're enjoying yourself.
Right.
And so I think I was trying to decide at the end whether she actually enjoyed that cheeseburger or if she was just using her skills to make him think that she enjoyed the cheeseburger.
I think she actually enjoyed it because when the fucking joint blew up and she was sitting on the boat,
she continued eating.
She fucking munched into that thing. I mean,
I'm sure it was a good cheeseburger.
It looked like a fucking good cheeseburger, like a well-made cheeseburger.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, she definitely was using her skills as an escort. I mean, I guess anyone could have those skills to, you know, get what they want from people.
Yeah.
Or let them think what they want to think, which is where my next question comes from. When she was leaving and he like made her pay and she gave him the cash, he like opened the door for her and she looked back at everyone else. To me, that was a sign of like, guys, this is your ticket out. I just showed you what you need to do. Now do it.
I don't think anyone else could have done that though. And I don't think he would have believed it if they tried. I think it was more of like her like second guessing herself. Like obviously she's going to leave, but at the same time she's like, fuck, I'm walking out this door and everyone behind me is going to die. And she was just like thinking about it for a second.
I get that. But like to me, it was like, he went to like the state of mind because he is kind of loco. He's not thinking like a normal person would think. He went to the state of mind of like him back in the day, like telling her what the price is, like $9.95 for this burger and fries. And
thank God she had a 10 in her pocket.
Facts. And like it was like to go and, you know, thank you for the good food. I'm leaving now.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like he went to like the state of mind of like, that's a good customer.
Yeah.
Like they tell you what they want, they pay for it, they enjoy it, they're going to take it with them, let them go.
Yeah.
And so like to me, it was like, that's the key to like this guy's brain to making that switch, to get him to think like, oh, wow, like, oh, there's a regular person versus rich snobs.
But also care about, because like we were saying earlier, he had no attachment to Margo, but everyone else
seemed super attached to her the whole fucking movie.
Well, like, yeah, when but like on a professional level, like he didn't have a vendetta against her like he had with everyone else.
He wanted to find one though. He went to the fucking restroom with her when she was trying to fucking have a smoke. He was like, why are you here? Why did you eat my fucking food in the woman's restroom?
I don't think that was aggression. I think that was him like, that was the beginning of his ego breaking down. Because everyone else at that restaurant had been like, oh my God, your food's amazing. Your food's amazing. And she's like, I don't like it. And he's like, wait, someone doesn't like my food? Like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Strange. Very strange.
And then when she does turn around and then that old lady like tells her like, no, you need to take your opportunity. Don't turn back. You need to get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. Fucking weird.
Oh, and Eve, that's another one that I thought was funny is like, as far as reasons he wanted people dead, he was like, you guys have been here 11 times. Name one thing you ate last time. And he was like,
he was like, cod?
Yeah.
And then he was like, no,
it was halibut.
They were like, what's the difference? And he was like, it matters to the halibut, the rare fucking halibut or something like that. Rare spotted halibut, rare fucking spotted halibut or something like that. Yeah, I don't know, man. This whole thing was just weird. And then at the very end, like the grand finale was making s'mores out of all the people because s'mores is apparently the most fucking derogatory thing that's ever happened in the culinary world because it's industrial. In whatever the fuck.
Yeah, he was like, it's a bunch of processed sugar and inhumanely sourced chocolate.
Yeah, with industrial crackers.
Right.
Like, I'm like, okay, so what? Who cares? And it's crazy, like, the people didn't move at all. They didn't give a fuck.
They knew it was too late.
Fight back. He said in the middle of the movie, like, I'm sure if you guys tried, you could get out. But they all accepted their fate. Like, they put the chocolate hat on that one girl and she goes, she, like, tasted it with her finger. And I was like, bro, that's what you're thinking about? What's wrong with you?
I mean, at that point you might, well, because even like during the man's folly course, they're like sitting there and the critic was like, hey, I can help you start your own restaurant. And she's like, no, we're all gonna die. And they're like, fuck it, you guys want some more wine?
Yeah, fucking wild. So that shit like blew up, and then again one of the cards came up on the screen and it was like, the ingredients were customers, staff, restaurant, and the ingredients.
Yeah.
And I was like, what?
It said chocolate marshmallow graham crackers, staff, customers, restaurant.
Yeah. Fucking weird. Yeah. And I mean, even before that, he was talking about at one point, like putting his hand above the flame of the candle. And he was like, oh, I can pick up a hot iron fucking scallop.
Palmed that coal.
He did. Yeah. And he palmed the fucking coal and just tossed on the floor and lit up the fucking place up.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Kind of an empty ending to me.
All right.
Like, I wanted it to be, I don't know. They could have, they kept it kind of in a nutshell in like one little area of the island. No one else will ever know what happened.
Yeah.
And I think to me, like, that's the thing. Like, if the chef is trying to go out with like a big bang, granted, with a $30 million budget, maybe that wouldn't have happened, but I feel like the movie could have been a lot more interesting if they somehow dragged the outside world into it of like,
yeah, I wasn't looking for that. I felt like the story,
I wasn't looking for it in the movie, but now I kind of am.
I felt like the story wasn't about anyone else. And so I feel like bringing the outside world into it would have been pointless.
I mean, both of them were pointless. At least if you take the outside world into it, you're telling the surrounding people, like, you guys are fuckers. And that would have been really funny that way.
But I think that's what the movie is for. Like, we don't need to see people making fun of them in the movie because the movie itself is making fun of them.
I mean, yeah, I get that. I don't know. Watching the movie end with everyone blowing up and her eating her fucking burger.
I thought that
literally ending. I was like, what the fuck?
Also, hilarious, though. They have these fucking, like, marshmallow jackets and chocolate hats. And it could have been way gorier, but there's like a couple shots of, like, you see like chocolate melting down on someone's their faces, face. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like,
and him standing in fire.
It's like, that's kind of funny.
I don't know.
Like, turning people into s'mores.
Fucking crazy is what I thought that was.
No, for sure. But like, visually, you seeing these like 10 or so people sitting in their chairs with these big marshmallow vests.
I mean, yeah.
They look silly as fuck.
It definitely looked silly with like their chocolate hats and everything. But like, dude, it just, I don't know. It could have ended in a much bigger of a bang. I don't know how I would have done it differently. I think why the movie is for me like 7.75, because it is just that shallow.
I think the only thing that I could have wanted more of at the end is, I think I would have liked to see the explosion a bit closer up.
Yeah, it was CGI.
Seeing it like way in the background and like,
and
when,
her eyeball.
Yeah, when it first blows up, you just see it as a reflection in her eye. I was like, okay, I mean,
yeah,
they don't have that much money, I guess. But
yeah, definitely CGI'd that. But yeah, I guess it's okay. I mean, it was definitely a good watch, but it, like I said, like both times, like it is one of the movies that you enjoy it while watching it. And when you're done, it's over.
Mm-hmm.
There's like nothing else for me to feel after. Yeah. Think, everything's done. It's like,
I think
cool.
Definitely is worth watching twice. I think after that, you've probably got everything.
Yeah. You got the horror and you got the funny. Yeah. And that's really it. That's as far as it goes. Yeah. There's just no deeper meaning.
But like I said, I think a lot of the quote unquote horror elements are just because you're not expecting it. And that's why it changes so much the second time, is because you know what's going to happen. Like there are plenty of scary movies that are scary multiple times, but yeah. I think this one is like, it's only scary because it's shocking.
Yeah. And I think the two most quote unquote shocking things to me were seeing Tyler hang himself having been hung and the chef shooting himself in the face.
Right? Yeah, that was the first one when they realized that. And the vanity of, because after.
I just went from zero to that.
Yeah, the guy immediately, and you can see he's like crying while he's standing there, blows his brains out, and then they try to escape and they cut off the dude's finger.
And he hand his wife the ring finger because he cheated on her.
Yeah.
With the, you know, lady that's in there.
And then after all of this shit is going on, the food critic is like, I think all of this is for us. Like, oh, she thinks everyone is faking it.
I love your acting.
And you're like, what acting? What?
I'm not fucking acting right now. Wild. Yeah. Overall, I mean, two times good.
Yeah.
After, toast it.
I think it's
movie for 30 minutes.
There are a lot of movies that you don't have to watch more than once. Like, I don't know. I mean, it's obviously, I think it's nice when a movie is rewatchable, but even like.
Well, I think this is interesting because you watch it the first time compared to other movies, right?
Yeah.
You watch this one once, right? And it comes with that horror the horror and thriller, right? You watch it again and you don't feel that anymore because you know what's happening. Mm. So it's something completely different. With other movies, you're still like, let's say Avengers. You watch Avengers once and you watch Avengers again. It's still the Avengers doing what they're doing. You just pick a few more like funny things. Yeah.
But even like I don't think I'd watch Puss in Boots again. And I only watched that once.
Well, I watched it twice. And it was Puss in Boots twice, but I just noticed different things that were happening.
Yeah. It's just like usually with a movie, it's like you may catch a couple extra things if you watch it again. Mm-hmm. I think this one is rewatchable for a completely different reason, but it's but there's also like, there's other movies. Like, I mean, obviously it comes down to taste, but like I've seen Inception at least 20 times.
Right.
Because that's just a fun movie to watch.
It's fun. And that one has a lot of depth to it, though. That's the difference between Inception and this movie is that I feel like Inception, like its thought process and storyline goes so much deeper than this.
I think it's
very surface level.
I think it's more thoughtful.
Yeah, this one's more blunt. It's just like, yeah, this is what's happening. Let me tell you that this is happening. And then after it ends, it's done.
Yeah.
And with Inception, it's like.
But it doesn't necessarily even have to, because like I've seen the first Pirates of the Caribbean movie. I've also seen that a bunch of times.
And me too.
I mean, like
I've seen the Harry Potters a bunch of times.
It's just a fun action movie. Like it doesn't necessarily have to be deep. It's just like it's fun for other reasons. And this isn't necessarily a fun movie.
No.
It's just a very interesting movie.
It's a movie for thinkers.
Yeah.
But like,
it's
not like an in-depth thinking movie, you know, it's not like Inception.
You have to think. It's not a movie that requires a whole lot from the audience. The movie is really good at doing a lot of work for the audience.
Right. You don't have to put a lot of work into it.
And so like the thing like with, because it could, like what we're talking about in the beginning with all of the like beautiful nature shots and all that stuff. Like that's like the movie is putting in work to bring the audience to a specific kind of mindset about like, this is what high end dining is.
Right. Right.
And so it could have, if it had done all of the same stuff without all of that prep work, then I think it would have required it. Like that would have required the audience to already understand fine dining. Like you'd have to come into the movie and be like, oh, this is what those people are like, and this is what that experience is like. But you don't have to know that because the movie shows you this is what those people are like.
Right. Literally. Yeah. Even just 10-second shots gives you the whole attitude of the person.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty solid. I have nothing else to say.
All right. I think we should move on to trivia then.
Let's do it.
All right. Our first piece of trivia here. It says, in the beginning of the film, the customers are led to the restaurant by Elsa and a few goats. There is something called a Judas goat, which is a goat that is used to keep cattle and other livestock calm while being led onto trucks and into slaughterhouses.
Huh. So the Judas goat is the hostess type.
No, there was actual goats in the beginning too.
Oh, you think those are the Judas goats?
Well, it's just like that's the concept of it. Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's good. Okay.
It's just like
I could see the hostess being the one that's like
I don't know if she was keeping anyone calm.
Well,
she was kind of on edge.
Yeah, that's fair. True.
A newspaper article in Chef's room shows that he once worked at a restaurant called Tantalus. Tantalus is the name of a character in Greek mythology who invited the gods into his home for dinner, but tricked them into eating a stew made from the meat of his own son, whom he had murdered and dismembered in order to test their omniscience. When the gods realized what he had done, they cursed Tantalus to stand in a shallow pool of water under a fruit tree. Anytime he would raise his hand for the fruit, the tree branches would rise beyond his reach, and anytime he would bend down to drink the water, it would recede. Much the same way, the chef has served the gods and sacrificed something that he loves, and now all of the food and drink is meaningless to him.
Oh, that's crazy. That is a good one. That made me think, like, just a fun thought experiment. If you're laying in water, that's like drinkable water, potable water. If you're laying in it, but you can't drink it, do you think at one point your skin would start absorbing the water and nourishing your body with that water?
I don't think it would. You definitely absorb some water, but not enough to keep you hydrated.
Okay, okay. Yeah, that's a cool fact.
The seven deadly sins are covered by everyone in the restaurant. Soren, Dave, and Bryce, or the three people who work for the same guy as the chef, represent greed because they embezzled from the company, which is why they had all the bank records.
Okay.
Tyler represents gluttony because he's literally willing to die for food.
Yeah.
Richard represents lust because he cheated on his wife. George represents envy because he is a washed up actor who name drops to get more recognition.
Pretending that the chef is his friend.
Right. Lillian and Ted represent pride because they believe the dinner is just for them. Julian, the chef's mother, represents sloth because she did nothing to stop her husband's abuse. And also she didn't do anything in the restaurant either. She was just single. Yeah. So she represents sloth. And then Julian and the other chefs represent wrath for murdering everyone.
Oh. So what was her name again?
Who?
The main character.
Margo.
Whoop, she's just there.
She's just there. Huh. Because Tyler was her double. So.
Yeah. Interesting.
And then our final piece of trivia here, which is the one I alluded to earlier. If you have know anything about the Jonestown massacre or any other stories like that, you could see the sort of cult-like behavior happening on the island, and it's especially suspicious when you see the barracks. And Elsa mentions at the beginning that they wake up at 6 and dinner usually goes until past 2 a.m., which means they're only getting like 3 or 4 hours. Yeah, 4 hours of sleep every night. And this says sleep deprivation is one of the hallmarks of cult indoctrination. There are no private spaces. Even the toilets and showers are in the open. The lack of sleep, privacy, or any form of individualism is perfect conditions for mass delusion.
Whoa.
So by keeping all of them on the island and keeping them on this strict, like, barely sleeping schedule, and they all have to sleep together and shit together and shower together, they just like lose their sense of self. And that's why all of them were willing to die with him. Damn. Because it was literally a cult.
But that one lady stabbed him in the leg, and she had like that self-worth of like, you tried to fuck me a few times or like asked to have sex and I said no, and then you were quiet and for 8 months, and he could do that.
Well, I think that's the thing though, is like, yeah, she didn't, it like, I don't know. It's weird. And I don't fully understand cult mentality, but like she was like, yeah, I said no to his sexual advances, but she was like, well, he's allowed to do whatever he wants because he's the boss.
Damn. That's crazy. Yeah. That's weird.
Yeah.
Not a fan, not a cult guy. Wow. Those were good. I like the last one. That definitely answered my question. Mm-hmm. I'm sure Sydney will be, very intrigued to listen to the podcast because I won't tell her until she listens to it.
There you go.
Hi, Sydney. Thanks for listening. Yeah. Wow. Cool.
All right. You ready to get wrecked?
Let's do it.
Do you have a recommendation this week?
Yeah. So you guys should check out your local art festivals. Your local art festivals support small business owners. They support individuals that put a lot of time and effort into the crafts that they do. And even if you don't buy anything, if you just swing by, you know, hang out for like 10, 20 minutes, look at what they do and tell them like, hey, this is a great job to give, you know, kind of tell them to keep going.
You know, that reminds me, they had I don't know how serious it was, but it looked like they had like an actual like art exhibit at the Convergence Station. There was one room where there's paintings in there.
Yeah.
And they have a little sign at the front that's like, if you want to buy anything, scan this QR code or visit the shop or whatever. And I was like, Are they actually selling these?
They are. Yeah. Every time I go in there, they're changed.
That's crazy.
So people buy them. But yeah, that's my tip. Go support your local artists.
Nice.
It's a great date idea. Or if you're bored like we are, we can go to an art thing today.
I am going to recommend mini golf.
Oh my God. That was what I was trying to think of. I was like, that's too fucking on the nose.
Nope. If you have a mini golf place near you, go play some mini golf. It's great. You won't feel as shitty when you miss because mini golf is a lot more forgiving than like full golf.
For many people with mini skills.
Right. You don't have to hit the ball as hard. You don't have to like follow through with your swings or have the perfect knee position or anything like that.
Facts.
You just hit the fucking ball.
Yeah. Have a good time.
Way more chill.
Yeah. That's a good one. I don't know how you came up with it.
Solid. Anyway, for our listeners, please be sure to subscribe to the podcast and leave us a review. Tell your friends and family about us. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at CashFanPod. If you want to send us a message, you can do so on either of those platforms, or you can send an email to casualfanaticpodcast@gmail.com. Links for all of those are in the description. Luca, what kind of messages can they send us?
You guys can send us anything from advice to what you loved in the podcast or things that you could see us doing a little bit better. Critical feedback, we always accept. Let us know if there's a movie or a show or even an episode of anything that you would want us to review.
Now we're open to doing TV stuff.
For sure. Yeah. So like send us whatever you'd like. Definitely let other people know about our podcast and let us know if you ever try out one of our recs because that'd be fun for us to know.
All right. Well, this has been Casual Fanatic. Thanks for listening.